The following program is brought to you in living color.
In tasting wines, there's three things that you watch and enjoy. One is the color of the wine. See how nice the color of this is? And the next thing is the aroma. And you smell the product. Hold it.
Hold it by the stem.
Yeah, the proper way is right here.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
I've never taken orders from anyone. As long as I live, I'll never take orders from anyone. I'm young and strong and nothing can touch me.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva. And you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Everything you ever wanted to know about the wine or the vine, we are your resource for that. Well, we have yet another great show lined up for you today. And as my loyal listeners know, I have been taking a bit of vacation here and there, which is great for y'all because it just has me come up with these amazing topics that you may or may not wanted to know about. Well, of course, I have recently been traveling out of the country, and because of that, my famous or infamous history doesn't follow me, so I get to meet strangers. It's good when I meet strangers, because that way I can take them totally unaware, and they can be offended just like my usual friends. But recently, I have been abroad and had a great time in a lovely, lovely resort. And in doing so, I encountered a lot of people who partake of the grape on a regular basis, very international crowd. And in doing so, I would sit there and I'd very quietly sip my Chardonnay. Believe it or not, I did keep my 2 cents worth to myself. And I'd listen to these people around me just pontificate and explain and talk and just wear the grape out. All they wanted to talk about was the wine, what was in the glass, where they had last consumed it, how great the winemaker was. Now, in all fairness, I did keep my mouth shut for the first 3 glasses of wine, but usually after that 3rd glass, I couldn't bear it anymore. And that is where the heart of this show is coming from. How to deal with a wine snob. How to deal with those people that can find nothing else in their artillery of conversation to talk about but wine, and of course, inevitably, themselves. So, we have a lot of help to do that today. Very fortunately, we have Savannah Shaw. She has been on the show a couple of times. She is our protocol and etiquette expert. I certainly could have used some of her fine advice in the last few weeks. But additionally, we also have Jay Schupert. He is the president of Cuvasson Estates. And even though Savannah is going to help us find a nice way to put a cork in it, Jay is going to talk a little bit about corks, kind of a carryover from one of the last shows. But speaking of carryovers from one of the last shows, on our website, which is winecrush.com, there has been a poll because the kind people at BR Cone asked for our advice on whether or not they should shift from regular corks to screw caps. Well, the result is in. 57% of you said, of course, you need to use a screw cap. 30% of you said, no way. And 12%, screw caps are so last year. So it seems like the majority has spoken and people are in favor of switching to the twist off. So hopefully we will get that information back to Dan Cone and the kind people at BR Cone, and we will see if we make a difference. Of course, I know I make a difference, but let's see as a group we can. Speaking of making a difference, we'd love for you to call in and be part of the show. Call in and drop us a question on the wine line. You can do that at 877-427-8741, or you can email us, either me personally at Laura Lawson, LauraLawson, at winecrush.com, or for those of you who like the less personal interaction, you can check us out at Facebook at winecrush.com. So, looking ahead to dealing with wine snobs, let me tell you this great story. Some of you will appreciate this, some of you will kind of tune me out on this. But I was speaking with a gentleman. We were sitting at a very swank resort, and he was talking about wine, and I had had my 4th glass of Chardonnay at this point, so I had to get involved in the conversation. And he was talking about the loveliness of Burgundy and how nothing in the world rivals it and is all he drinks and all he worships. Well, for most people, the Mecca of Burgundy is going to be Domaine Romani Conti. It is pretty much, if you are going to drink Pinot Noir, that is the best Pinot Noir on the planet that you can drink. So the man keeps going on about Romani Conti, and finally I'd had enough, and I looked at him, and I said, yes, it's a lovely Pinot. What's your favorite vintage? And he looked at me down his nose, and he said, well, absolutely, the 51 was the best thing they ever produced. Fortunately, at this point, my husband knows a little bit about wine. At that point, he grabbed me by the back of the shirt collar, yanked me up, and said, honey, why don't we go dance? Well, for those of you who are into wine, and this wine snob who had talked for 45 minutes had just proclaimed that the 51 Domaine Romani Conti was hands down the best thing he had ever had. My husband knew that at any moment I was going to tell this jackass from 1946 to 1951 the wine wasn't even produced. They had torn the vineyards up. There are no vintages such as that. So that is why, whether you are educated, not educated, it doesn't matter. There are people around you who are going to try and sway what you drink, ergo the theme of today's show. But as long as I'm swaying people to drink, we have to get our wine recommendations in. And this week, I'm trying something a little bit different from some name people that you may or may not know. The first one I have talked about probably ad nauseum because we had Alex Sokolblosser on the show. But Sokolblosser, even though the evolution is wonderful, they have come out with a Pinot Gris. This is a standalone Pinot Gris. It is absolutely spectacular. It has the mineral characteristics you like. It has the earthen characteristics that you like. But also, it's got apricot, it's got peach, it's got fig. And you look at this wine and you think, oh, Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio, who cares? This one really makes a difference. Coming from Oregon, it has the finesse that it needs to go pretty much with anything. You can age this wine. This is a Pinot Gris that can lay down for about 5 years. I don't know why you'd want to save it. Feel free to drink it. It's under $19 a bottle. But whether you're eating conch, whether you're eating mahi-mahi, or in my case, eating Mexican food, this is the perfect summer wine. We like to call it in our parts the perfect patio quaffer. And this definitely is the wine that's going to please your whole crowd. So I would look for that one. As far as red wines, I got a little off the beaten track this week. Everyone who likes wine excessively will know the name Beckstoffer. You hear about Beckstoffer Vineyards. You hear about Beckstoffer Ranch. You hear about all the different Beckstoffer properties. I think at some point they said Andy Beckstoffer owned something like 42% of Napa Valley. But Tuck Beckstoffer, he's worked at Cape Bread. He worked at Spring Mountain Winery. He worked down in Australia at Lewin Estate. He has his own winery now. It started in 2004, but I just now got my paws on it. And he started something called the 75 Wine Company. And for those of you who like Cabernets that are still very reasonable, hey, this is going to be one of these Laura Lawson suggestions where I tell you, go out, find the wine, because in about 6 years, the ratings are going to be so high on it that none of us can afford it. Well, hopefully they'll always be affordable. But the 75 Amber Knowles Vineyard Cabernet Sauvignon is one of the best things I have had in ages. It has got great deep fruit. It's got blueberries, it's got ripe cherries, all the great berry flavors you'd expect to have. But what's really cool about it is the tannins don't overwhelm you, and it's soft, and it's luscious. Because it has that great acidity that'll balance pretty much anything. This is one of the coolest Cabernets I have come across in ages. So for those of you who are looking for something different, hats off to Mr. Tuck Beckstoffer with his 75 Amber Knowles Cabernet Sauvignon. And once again, this is one of those wines you can find for under $19 at one of your Mega Mart shelves. This one, in some parts of the country, you're going to have to ask a wine shop about, but it is definitely worth the effort on that. So, past those, we are going to spend the day talking a little bit about wine snobs, how to deal with them, how to handle them. And of course, I wouldn't want my snobs to feel offended at some point during the show. I've got advice for you as well, so you need to stay tuned.
Let me show you how this is done. Hold the glass up and examine the wine against the light. You're looking for color and clarity. Now, stick your nose in it.
Maybe some strawberry.
Oh, there's just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese.
When do we drink it?
Now.
Mmm.
Are you chewing gum?
No.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. 5437.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and today we are teaching you how to deal with those people that would prefer to annoy you than to help you drink your wine sociably. And fortunately, you don't have to take my advice, because my advice generally is to shoot those people. So since my producer knows that, we are graced by Savannah Shaw. She is a protocol and etiquette expert, and she is going to teach us the finer points of dealing with those we wouldn't. Savannah, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hello, Laura. How are you?
I am outstanding. How are you today?
Just super. Thank you. Thanks ever so for having me on today.
Savannah, you have to be the sane side. We have to have you on at least four times a year, or somehow my feet just stay in my mouth. So I have to have someone who can guide me down the right path.
Oh, I don't think so at all. But anyway, I'm glad to be on.
Well, Savannah, what we are talking about today is dealing with the pretentious, wine-snobby people who insist on butting into your conversations, talking over and over about their experiences, or talking ad nauseum about wine. I know, being with the background that you have and having the great insight you do, that you have the perfect answer for shutting these people down.
Well, I think that one can handle these sort of people in several different ways. One is to sort of ignore them, which is not the best way, but sometimes that's necessary. But saying something like, "How very interesting. I wonder if anyone else has any other point of view," sort of might get them off themselves. Or, "How very interesting. Has anyone else been to such and such?" Sort of deferring and guiding the conversation to another person is always a good thing to try to do.
Well, I do understand that, and I have to admit, I have tried the, "Oh, how very interesting. I can't keep the sarcasm out of my voice. There's no way that the condescension and the aggravation doesn't show through. The problem with a lot of these people, when you talk about ignoring them, is we are not talking about a sports car. We're not talking about an Armani suit. We are talking about a beverage that is usually 12 to 14% alcohol. So the more you ignore them, the louder they tend to get. What is the graceful solution for this?
Really just not thinking to their level, Laura. I know it's difficult. I do. And if you're funny as you are and intelligent, then it's a super time to feel as though you can come up with some good one-liners and put them in their place. But a better way is to not sort of think to their level and to really understand that perhaps they're uncomfortable in the situation, or they're actually not as knowledgeable as they're trying to make out to be, and sort of help them get out of themselves, so to speak, by deferring to other people or bringing the conversation to something else, perhaps. Usually when people behave in that sort of manner, it is because they're uncomfortable or they don't have good self-confidence.
That really does make sense.
What they're making out to be.
So essentially we should take pity on them and find another topic.
That would be super if you can. If you can find it in yourself to do that. People who boast, are just awful. One shouldn't fake etiquette of any sort, wine etiquette. One shouldn't fake knowledge of that, and one should definitely not boast. Etiquette is about everybody being comfortable and at ease, people should not do that. But if that does happen, then not feeding it is the very best way.
That makes sense. Anytime you're around a boastful person, the best way to do is not to insult them, not to confront them. It never goes well for anyone involved, but simply just to guide them in a different direction.
Yes.
Savannah, have you ever had a situation like this?
Oh, well, I have. And I have situations like this sometimes because of the field that I'm in. People sometimes are uncomfortable when they find out what I do and so tend to sort of try to be overly knowledgeable and that sort of thing. And I immediately try to make them feel comfortable by perhaps sharing something, some sort of situation where I have committed a faux pas, which I do all the time. We are all imperfect. And so, just putting people at ease is the way to go.
That makes sense. I have to admit, if you and I had to sit down and have dinner and I realized you were an etiquette expert, I really think I could stay quiet for the next 2 hours.
Laura, that would be horrible.
That'd be the only way I could keep my feet out of my mouth or just some horrible gaffe before it was over with.
No, it's all about, etiquette is all about it being at ease, and it really is not about judgment. I mean, I'm very passionate about that people understand that the reason I do this is so that people will be more comfortable and more open-minded and less critical of each other, actually.
I do appreciate that. I think, unfortunately, because of the business that I am in, and I know a lot of our listeners may be in the same boat, whether they're waiters, whether they're learning about wine, whether they're sommeliers, we have tried every tactic known to mankind. Mm. We have ignored the braggarts. We have tried to switch subjects on them. We have tried to explain a little bit more about wine. What do you think about the concept of one-upmanship?
Oh, no, that's awful, Laura. Awful.
No, Laura, bad Laura. No, stop that. Okay.
No, one mustn't do that. Then you really are feeding the fire and sinking to their level. Just deferring, or perhaps, if you do have some knowledge that is valuable to the situation, then just waiting until they have finished and then, adding something valuable. It's just super. Not being intimidated by these people is very important. Not getting into that whole atmosphere of, he said, she said, or I know more, or boastfulness, or that sort of thing. Keeping your head about you and, helping everybody be at ease and enjoy the atmosphere is what we all should do for each other.
I think that's the key, and that's where I was getting at with this. I am fortunate with my life work. If people are going to get off on these tangents, I can take this from any different tactic. The people I eventually feel sorry for are the ones in the group who are getting excited about learning new things about wine, or who have just found a really, really good glass of Pinot Grigio or a really good rosé, and they're all happy and excited until one of these wine snobs comes in with the proverbial Bigfoot and just squashes their little dreams and their hopes.
Yes.
At what point do you need to defend the smaller people or the ones who are also insecure and are intimidated by this person?
I don't think that you need to defend them. Defending against that sort of behavior is not necessary. The people that do that are absolutely glaringly rude and obnoxious, and everybody can see that. So I really don't think that a defense is necessary. I know exactly the type of situation you mean, though. I love a drop of wine or two myself, but I am not a sommelier, and I am not an expert on wine itself. And so I've been in situations where perhaps somebody knew a whole lot more about wine than I did, and perhaps might have made me feel a little bit uncomfortable about the fact that I don't know a certain, you know, type of wine comes from here, et cetera, et cetera. But really, at the end of the day, I'm confident in myself, and I'm mature enough to know that, you know, that's not something that I should be upset about. And so really defending against these people is just an absolute waste of time.
Okay, well, that is good to know. Savannah, I come from the mentality, whether it's work, whether it's wine, whether it's anything, thunder does the talking and lightning does the work, meaning that those that are going to talk about it over and over again generally don't know what they're talking about. Is that truth or fiction, or is that a misnomer in my head?
Oh, I think that's absolutely correct, Laura. I think that's a great saying. And, you know, the less said, but perhaps when one says something, saying something of importance rather than just a whole lot of things, you know, some valuable information that that perhaps can add to an evening with wines or whatever the case may be, instead of just somebody who's going on and pontificating about their knowledge of this, that, and the other. So, you know, less said in that sort of situation, but having valuable things to say is a strong way to be.
Well, I like the way you think, and it's always great getting your advice. I have to admit, I probably run counter to that more than I should, but at least if nothing else, our listeners can take away the wise words of wisdom you have to offer, and hopefully they can do a better job than I do.
Oh, you are too hard on yourself.
Oh, no, my producer's like shaking his head in there. Well, Savannah, thank you very much for being part of the Crush. You are such a great asset for us to have, and hopefully you will let us call on you again in the future.
I most certainly will. Thank you ever so for having me.
All right, Savannah. All right, more on how to handle the wine snob and how to deal with them when we get back from this short break.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million? beach. Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air, would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
With the Wine Crush, and I am Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva. And today's common thread running through the show is how to deal with wine snobs. And of course, we do have to digress from there here and there, but I do have an interesting story for you. You know, I'm good at trying to reference it back to other shows. But at the beginning of the year, I talked to some of you about the fact that Brunello, a wine from Italy, was having problems, and a lot of it was going to be confiscated and perhaps declassified. What this meant is a lot of the big producers who make Brunello were having their wines questioned as to whether or not they were being made in the correct manner, the correct way, with the correct grapes. Well, the results have finally come out, and my prediction, I will note now that I am 3 for 3, is finally going to come true. For those of you who want to drink some exceptional juice, look for the wines from 2004 coming out of Italy, because in fact, they have gone through some of these Brunellos, and they have found, indeed, that the wines were worthy of being declassified. Now, granted, some of the wines are going to make it out of there. But right now, the Italian newspaper La Repubblica has disclosed that 5 wineries have been found guilty by the investigators of having bad Brunello. Antinori, Argiano, Bonfi, Casanova, De Neri, and Marchese di Frescobaldi. So some of these wines, yes, you may be seeing 2004 Brunello on, but I would be looking for their IGT wines, because these wines are going to be second to none when it comes to quality versus value. But I will keep you updated and let you know whether all of this is truth or fiction, but I will promise you this. Some of the O4s you see coming out will definitely be rivaled by a wine snob talking about 04 Brunellos. So remember, you heard it here first. You want to be your own snob? Talk about the 04's IGTs. Well, after all, this show is all about you, and I do encourage you, please do call in. Drop a call on our wine line. It's 877-427-8741, or email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, or email to info@winecrush.com or comment on Facebook. There are so many different ways you can offer opinion. I just can't believe I don't hear from all of you all the time. But right now, oh yes, soon we'll be Twittering. We shall see what happens. I am a Twitter waiting on the Twitter, but I wouldn't hold a tweet that will happen. Past that, right now we have a call on the wine line. We have John from South Carolina. John, welcome to The Crush.
Laura, I love your show. I recently attended a wine tasting. It was very casual. The group of people invited were not experts. We were just out enjoying the evening, great wine and conversation. There was one guy there, though, who walked around like he knew everything. Whenever people were talking about wine, he would interrupt and throw facts out like he knew everything and knew the answer to every question. My question to you, Laura, is what is the appropriate way to deal with somebody like this? He may have had more knowledge than most of us, but we were not learning anything from him. I feel like he was throwing out bad information. What do you recommend?
That is entirely possible. Now, I want you to remember, hopefully you have listened to the show in the entirety and you've heard the kind words of wisdom from Savannah Shaw. You have heard how you should ignore him or walk away or steer them in a different direction. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, snobs are snobs about three things. They're snobs because they are more educated, they believe in wealth, or they believe in material possessions. Now, they become a snob because they have one of these three things, all of these three things, over you. They have a very small outlook. They are very insecure, and the only way they're going to feel good about themselves is to actually feel like they are lording over someone else. So the wise thing to do is, of course, walk away from that. But the next best thing you can do in a situation like that, if you're going to adhere to the Laura Lawson option on dealing with wine snobs, is... Very nice. Yes, you definitely shoot them. But apparently that is illegal in most states. And because of that, we cannot advise that on the show. Unless, of course, they're French wine snobs and you can hit them upside with a baguette. No, seriously, John, what we are looking at, if you can't ignore them, you can't run from them, turn and look at them and say, really, what book did you get that out of? What issue of Wine Spectator did you get that out of? The key with dealing with wine snobs is to ask them very pointed questions. And if you actually try and hone down that one issue, that one incident, or that one place where they had the wine, they're going to stammer and they're going to leave you alone. Because here's what it is to remember. Information you are getting at a wine tasting from a wine snob that you have not solicited. If they are just coming around and running their mouth, they're looking for a way to come into conversation. They're looking for a way to get to know you. If they continue to do this over and over again, that's because they think that's the one thing they have that they can offer to you. So if you challenge them on it, they're going to be quiet. But in fairness and in deference to Savannah, I think the best thing you can do is say, hi, I'm John. What can I do for you today? Or, hi, I'm John. That's a really great story about wine. What else do you do? I do believe that's the safest way. It's not the favorable way. It's not the pleased way. It's not the way I'd like to do it. In fact, I've had different events where I'd had to reload several times, but that's neither here nor there. Well, John, I hope that helped. Like I said, for every one side of the coin, there has to be the other. And I know Savannah is cringing right now, but really that's the only way you can get through those events. So, John, thank you for calling The Crush, and hopefully we helped. Right now I have an email from Karen in Fresno. And Karen writes, I have a friend who will not try a wine without knowing what it was rated. What does rated mean, and how do I deal with this? Well, Karen, what you're dealing with is one of the first signs of, yes, a wine snob. Wine snobs usually come about, they are hatched, not born, because they decide they're going to learn about wine and they're going to sit down and read publications, whether it's the Wine Spectator, whether it's Decanter, whether it's Wine Connoisseur, whether it's Connoisseur's Guide, the Wine Advocate. They want to study on their own because they want to learn. Now, the problem with wine snobs is once they learn a little bit, they want to tell everybody what they know. So the only way they know wine is by ranking systems. If they're giving you puffs, it's from Connoisseur's Guide. Oh, this was 3 puffs. If they're saying, oh, it was 89 points and a best buy from Wine Spectator, you can follow that. Or if it was a 95 point from Robert Parker, then definitely you can understand where they're coming from. But ultimately, one of the best ways to deal with these people is to say, oh, I'm sorry, what would you recommend? To say, oh, well, that was a 93 point wine. That's lovely. How does this compare? Ask them, once again, specific questions on why they like the wines and how they were rated. If once again they insist that they're only going to drink wines that were rated 95 points by Robert Parker, all you have to do is look at them and smile and say, oh, good, you're buying. Well, Karen, I hope that helped. If not, please do write us back and let us know how it goes. Right now, we're going to take a small break here at The Crush, and we're going to line up another great guest who can help us learn a little bit more about the grape.
We've got more Wine Crush coming up in a moment.
He took me to the Spider Club at Hollywood and Vine. We drank champagne and we danced all night.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX. Performance you can feel.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Wine Crush, and I am Laura Lawson. So far in the show, we have been talking about how to handle the wine snob. But fortunately, sound effects aside, we're going to take a small break before we actually do hurt somebody. And we're going to touch back on a civilized conversation we had a couple weeks ago about corks, what to do with them, how they're changing, and what new technologies are on the forefront. To help us along those lines, we have Jay Schupert. He is the president of Cuvasson Estate, and they have a great new initiative. Jay, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's delightful to have a nice, pleasant, respectable person. We've been behaving badly so far in this show, so you're a good addition.
So do I have to be on my best behavior?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
In fact, please don't. If not, we'll go downhill and I'll have my feet in my mouth by myself.
Excellent.
Well, something we have been talking about was all the different uses of corks and all the people who are switching from screw cap or switching to screw cap or stelvin closures from corks. But Kuvison has come up with something new. Tell us about your National Cork Recycling Program.
Well, you know, I respect all the other closures that we have out there. I guess I'm a bit of a traditionalist, and we love the cork. First of all, just, you know, when the sound of pulling it out of the bottle and the whole romance of it, I think, really goes back to a long time ago. But having said that, in looking at the cork and what we could do, we thought that a cork recycling program would be important. If you look worldwide, there are over 13 billion corks that are used every year, and most of those go into a landfill. 13 billion. So we started looking and talking to different manufacturers, and we found one called Yemen and Hart. And what they do is they take these corks and they grind them up and they use them for espadrille shoes, for flooring, for siding, any number of things. So we decided to put a cork recycling program in place. And we're not only doing it here in our two tasting rooms in Napa Valley, but we're also partnering up with other tasting rooms, having them bring corks to us, and also with restaurants throughout the country. And the program means that we will give them a box that they can put the corks in. We give them burlap bags that they can mail them back to us. And then we'll send them into Yemen and Hart, have them grind them up, and use them for other materials. It's pretty exciting.
So the restaurants, it doesn't have to just be Kuvison, right? They can mail back a bag of corks from anybody, huh?
We're encouraging them to save every cork that they use.
I think that is a great idea to keep these out of landfills. I still can't get past that figure you just tossed out, 13 billion corks. That can't just all be wine. That's over 10 million cases.
Well, it is. It's a worldwide market would fit into that category. It's absolutely a staggering number. And when you try to think about how big of a mound that would be, I can't picture it.
Once again, I'm still having a problem with all those zeros. Around here in the radio show, there may be there's like two zeros on the end of a check. So you put that many together, and I can't even fathom that kind of math.
Exactly. It's big. And it's exciting. You know, it appears to be something that's really small and somewhat insignificant until you throw some big numbers like that at it. But from our perspective, from trying to be a sustainable winery, we look at all the small details. And the cork was an important part of it, especially when we started putting the numbers together.
That makes sense. So is it fair to say that Kuvison, are you 100% cork finished with your wines?
We are. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I won't go to some sort of a screw cap sometime in the future. But at this time, we really do like the cork, and we like the way that it preserves our wine, and our customers seem to agree. Now, there's certainly a place out there for screw caps and other alternative openers, and I certainly don't bemoan anyone from using those. There's a valued place for them as well.
Yes, I definitely know that your Chardonnay is cork finished. I have popped several of those myself.
Oh, excellent.
In fact, you ought to mail me a bag. I can certainly send it back full. Probably about 6 months. Hey, not that long. Maybe I'll work on 8 this time.
Terrific.
Well, I've got to ask this. You mentioned this in passing. What are they using the recycled corks for?
Any number of materials. And you know what? It's interesting because the more corks they get back, then the more uses they come up with. But you can buy cork flooring. You can buy cork siding. Cork boards, of course, go back many, many years. And I think everyone's had those growing up. But the list is long. Again, even with shoeing, with espadrille shoes, there's a process that can be used for cork.
Well, here's the obvious question. I know I want to ask it, and maybe my listeners are too. Is it possible for wineries to ever use recycled corks? Can you?
No, it would have to be ground up, and then it would be very difficult to sanitize that cork because the wine actually gets absorbed into the cork over a period of time.
All right, so we don't have to have any previously used corks in our bottles.
Well, hopefully you won't find one.
Okay, we'll certainly keep our fingers crossed on that.
Right.
Hey, I've got a strange question. I don't mean to catch you off guard, but we've been having a little fun on the show today. We are talking about dealing with the wine snobs. And you mentioned about your tasting room and the fact that you try and recycle corks in tasting rooms. Do you ever have people come up and just give you discourses on what you should do with your corks or what you should be doing with your bottles?
We get any number of suggestions from people who come in, and we try to listen to them as much as possible. We get some that are pretty off the wall. But, you know, the great thing about a winery is, and especially having two tasting rooms here in Napa, is it gives us an opportunity to meet directly with the consumer. And it's not always the case. So when they come forward with crazy off-the-wall ideas, we listen, we pay attention, and, you know, then we discuss later or not whether it was a good idea.
So admit it, Jay. You just sit there and smile and nod, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to hear you actually say that. Well, listen, for our listeners who are more interested in Cuvaison, where can they find out more about your wine?
You can go to Cuvaison, and that's spelled CUVAISON.com.
Well, that's pretty straightforward and easy, kind of like your course, kind of like everything else. I like the way you think at your place.
Absolutely. You know, we're not trying to dummy down, but we know that there's been way too much onus on knowledge and wine. And you know what? We just want people to enjoy it with their meal or without.
I absolutely knew I liked you. Well, Jay, thank you for being part of the Crush today. It's always great to get different insights and certainly from a great personality such as yourself.
Bill, the pleasure is all mine.
All right. Well, I am Laura Lawson, and we are going to take a small break right here. But when we return, you wine snobs, don't feel like you've been left out. I've got some great advice and some great techniques for you. More when we return.
There's more Wine Crush in just a moment.
The days of wine and roses.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over-limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood.
Hi-ya!
Concrete.
Hi-ya!
Brick walls.
Hi-ya!
Trees.
Hi-ya!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train on us, feeling near as faded as my jeans.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we have been talking about the scoundrel of scoundrels, the wine snob. We've had an etiquette expert give us their 2 cents worth on how to deal with them. We have had my opinion on how to deal with them, but obviously each situation is going to be different. But I want to have this concluding part of the Wine Crush be pretty much directed to the wine snob. So for those of you out there, whether you know it or not, I'm going to teach you a lesson and let you know how one of my good friends dealt with you. I've been in the business for about 25 years. I've had a lot of time to sit down with people who knew a lot about wine or a little about wine. But ultimately, when people encounter me, they know I know wine. I was in with an account one day, and I was tasting 20 different wines. It was a mammoth tasting. And we were going through, and there was a waiter that kept going back and forth as we were tasting these wines. And every time he had something to add or something to say. These were rare wines. They were unique wines. And eventually it got to be a bit overbearing. Well, the customer I was tasting with didn't appreciate what was going on. And, of course, as true tasters go, we were taking sips of the wine and then dumping the rest of it out. So I want you to get an idea. Think about the movie Sideways when Miles is running through the vineyards with the amount of wine that was in his dump bucket. Finally, the owner of the fine establishment I was tasting with had had enough of this person putting their 2 cents worth in, took the dump bucket, filled it with 1.5 inches worth of wine. When the waiter walked by for one last time to offer an opinion, the owner of the establishment handed him his glass and said, "Oh, please, you have to try this. This is one of the finest vintages Bordeaux ever made." Sure enough, the waiter picked up the glass, swirled it, smelled it, started drinking it down, and said, unconditionally, it was the best wine he had ever tasted. So my advice to you wine snobs, if you know you're a snob and know you've been behaving badly, I suggest you watch the bottle from whence your wine comes. You never know what's going to happen. But on that note, I have 5 things to leave you with, my favorite dedicated wine snobs. Let me give you this advice. 1, don't judge a book by its cover. Wine lovers come in all shapes and all sizes. Whether they are 20, whether they are an 18-year-old gorgeous woman, whether they are an 83-year-old woman sitting back with a glass of scotch, you never know who knows more about wine than you do. Be warned. 2, money does not equate to sense. Just because you can afford it does not mean you know it and you understand it. 3, conversely, just because you own it, you are not an expert in that wine. If you own it and you put it in your cellar and you get stuck dusting it once every 5 years, it doesn't mean you understand it. It just means you have it. 4, 95% of the wine are made for the masses. Out of that 95% of wine made for the masses, don't you think that chances are you are probably one of them? I doubt you're part of that 5%. And 5 is a personal favorite of mine. And finally, you can have all the money, all the cellars, and all the bottles you want. But the best piece of advice I can give wine snobs, don't get in an argument with someone who sells wine for a living. Ultimately, they do it to see zeros on their check, and you are nothing but a hobbyist and therefore a diversion. Anyway, I am Laura Lawson. I hope you have had as much fun on this show as I have. But since we have to depart, let me remind you, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week. We'll